We all like hope, right? Because hope gives us hope, don't it? But today we're going to begin a new series called The Heart of Christmas. And it's going to take us a few weeks. It's going to take us all the way up. It's going to conclude on Christmas Eve. So this is going to be a series. If you get an opportunity to invite someone to come be a part of this series, this would be a great time to invite people. People are more receptive to wanting to come to church, wanting to come and be a part of a family of God during the holidays. And so if you get an opportunity, ask somebody, invite someone to come and come to church with you. But today I want you to know that hope is at the heart of Christmas. Amen? And I want to take a moment. I want to show you what I mean. I remember when I was a child, I loved it when we got the Sears and Roebuck and JCPenney catalog. Anybody else remember getting those? And I remember when those came in, we would take them and we would go to the toy set. They would always have the big book of toys or whatever, you know. And I would go to that toy catalog and we would flip through it and we'd look for what we wanted for Christmas. I would circle mine and put my initial on it. And then my sister would circle hers and put her initial on it. So that way, you know, they knew exactly what we wanted. And I remember, I think we circled just about the entire catalog. You know, we knew we weren't going to get it all, but, you know, we wanted it all, right? Because there was just too many choices, too many things to choose from. And it was just all the joy and wonder. I mean, we couldn't go do any searching. There was no internet back then. You know, we didn't know what internet was. We didn't know what, we didn't even have, you know, our phones was attached to a cord on the wall and you had to go, shh. Y'all remember that? Shh. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? It took forever to call anyone back then. And you kids that are in here, y'all don't have any clue. Y'all got it easy, right? I mean, it was tough back then. I mean, the idea of a remote control was my dad would smack me and say, hey, go turn it to channel 3, you know. I mean, I was the remote control. I mean, that's the way it was back then. But, you know, we that was the highlight of Christmas was getting that catalog. And why was that the highlight? Because we would have hope and we would dream about what Santa might bring us for Christmas. And, you know, it was exciting times, you know, in our house. I think that catalog would come sometime either in October or November, and we would, it might even came earlier than that, I don't know, but we would circle, and that was the highlight. I mean, there was an anticipation there. You knew when you got that catalog that Christmas was just around the corner, right? You knew that there was a hope that Christmas was coming soon. There was a hope that we would get something that we asked for, and it was one of the highlights of our childhood, and some of you probably did the same thing, right? The true reason there is hope at the heart of Christmas is not because of gifts, but because of the birth of Jesus. And when Jesus came to earth, it was a fulfillment of prophecy that was spoken about hundreds of years before he arrived. It is probably one of the most well-known prophecies in Scripture that is shared at this time every single year. So if you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, go to the book of Isaiah, and I'm going to be reading from chapter 9. Now, I want to set this up for you as you're looking for Isaiah chapter 9. The backdrop to Isaiah's writing sometime around 740 BC, and this was a time of very poor leadership in Israel. The people of Israel had been suffering through the reigns of three ungodly kings, Uzziah, Jotham, and Ahaz. And if you want to read about these guys, you can read in 2 Chronicles 26 through 28. And their stories are found in those chapters. But they were corrupt and they had led the people far from God. It was a very dark time in history. And Isaiah wrote these words knowing that God would have to intervene to bring Israel back to himself. And the kingdom was crumbling all around. And the people needed hope. They were looking for hope. And so here Isaiah comes on the scene, and here's what he says in Isaiah chapter 9, beginning with verse 2. He says this, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. And then look at verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. You see, when you read this passage, I want you to notice that it makes two major statements. The first statement is an acknowledgement of the brokenness and darkness that surrounded Israel due to sin and corruption. It was very dark, and he's talking about a light coming. And then the second part is the hope of a drawing light through the birth of a child who would one day make all things right. You see, the Jewish people in the Old Testament needed these words to remind them that God had not forgotten about them. There was a promise that Isaiah was given. He's saying, hey, listen up. God's not forgotten you yet. God is understanding something. And we have to realize this prophecy was given over 700 years before Christ would come. But there was a hope. There was a hope that was being talked about. There was a hope that was being spoken to them. There was a hope that was coming. God had not forgotten them. Now, the book of Matthew, it also reminds us of Isaiah's writings. The gospel writer was making the connection between what Isaiah had prophetically written and what had taken place in a manger in Bethlehem. Look at Matthew chapter 1. And I'm going to just read a couple of verses here. Matthew chapter 1, verse 22. It says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Verse 23, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. You see, a young Jewish man named Joseph, ever heard of him? He was presented with a very difficult decision to make. He was engaged to be married to a woman named Mary, but see, she was already pregnant. And Joseph planned to call the wedding off because it appeared that his bride-to-be had been unfaithful. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph in a dream, and he told him to go forward with the marriage because the child in her womb was from the Holy Spirit. And all of these events took place to fulfill the prophecy from the Old Testament, which claimed there would be a child born as a light in the darkness and a hope for all people. There is a hope that was coming. There was a hope that was going to be born. There was a hope that was predicted, that was spoken about 700 years before that moment. And now here, Joseph has no clue. All he thinks is that maybe his wife has been unfaithful, but an angel appears to him and says, hey, it's okay. It's going to be all right because a hope is being born. Amen? A hope is being born that's going to come and save the world, and it's going to come through your wife, Mary. And she is going to be the mother of this child. The child would be named Emmanuel, which means God with us, even in the midst of darkness. He's Emmanuel, the center of the Christmas story. It's focused squarely on the birth of Jesus. He is the fulfillment of the Israelites' hope that God would push back the darkness and shine a bright light in the world. And that is also why Christmas resonates in our heart. That's why we think about Christmas. That's why we celebrate Christmas. It's because of Jesus. Sure, the gifts are great, right? We like to give. We like to give people gifts. We like to receive gifts. It's a fun part of Christmas, right? It's you know, for me and Kelly, we get double portions because we have birthdays in the month of December as well. You know, so it's nice. You get double portions. I remember when I was a kid, of course, you know, you always have those unpredictable weather as well in the month of December. You know, I remember one time we had this birthday party planned. We were going to the skating rink, you know, and we got like, I don't know, ice and snow on that day. So guess what? We had only like 3 or 4 people show up. I still had a blast, you know, got to go skate. It was wonderful. But, you know, it was always those unpredictable times, you know, in the month of December. But we like all the things that surround us at Christmas time. We like the lights. We like the carols. We like, you know, we like the presents. We like the decorations that we put up. We like all these things. Why? Because it's a special time of year. But at the center of all that stuff that we do, at the center of that is the hope of why we celebrate Christmas. And that hope is Jesus. Amen. Jesus Christ is the hope of Christmas. We live in a dark world just like Israel did, don't we? Our world is dark, it's corrupt, it's full of sin, and there's war, there's disease, there's conflict, there's oppression all around us, and we need the Christ child as well to usher in a light and push back the darkness. I love John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. It says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Now, I don't know exactly when this was written, but there's some people say that the book of John was written after he wrote Revelation. Can you imagine? John receives this revelation about who Jesus is. Yes, he saw the earthly vision of Jesus, because he walked with him. He talked with him. But then he goes to a whole nother realm when he has this revelation of Jesus, and he sees this mighty warrior, this powerful, magnificent, awesome being. And all of a sudden, then he comes, and maybe he saw that vision and he wrote Revelation, and then he came back and he said, "Hey, let's keep going." I don't know if this, I just know that some scholars believe that Revelation was written first and John, the book of John, was written second. But if it was, I can imagine he's saying, here he was, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You know, we could turn all the lights out in here, and it's dark. It can get dark, trust me. You try to walk through this place at night when it's dark, it gets kind of creepy, especially when the wind starts blowing and all the roof starts creaking and all that, and you're trying to walk through here and you can't see. And trust me, these altars do not feel good when you hit them in the dark. It's not fun at all. Some of you have experienced that. It's not fun at all. I promise you. We were playing in here one night with the youth. We play this game called Sardines sometimes, and I forgot the altar wasn't here. And I come through here, and I hit that altar and went flat on my face. Luckily, I didn't get hurt. But, man, you talking about being scared. That altar scare you more than anything else will. But if it's dark in here and you can't see nothing, you can't see anything, but if you turn on a light, what happens? The darkness is gone, isn't it? The darkness is gone. You see, when Jesus entered this world, he was the hope. He was that light in a hopeless world. And he shone so that we all could see it, and so we all could have the light that we needed, the light that we had been looking for. Jesus became that light, just as John said, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Christmas is a reminder that whatever it is we hope for in our lives, whether it be healing or restoration or forgiveness, or maybe you just want a fresh start, each of those things is available through Emmanuel. Amen. Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And hope is not a result of the absence of conflict and difficulty and struggle or trial. But hope is a result of the presence of God. Amen. That is the hope that we are looking for. That is the hope that we are needing. That is the hope of this Christmas season. Hope that is at the heart of Christmas. But sometimes it's hard, right? The hard part about hope is that it often takes longer than we would like to be fulfilled. Like the Jewish people experienced, hope required patience. 700 years is a long time, right? The prophecy was being fulfilled. Isaiah said, there's a hope coming. There's a Savior that's coming. He's coming to save the world. He didn't say when he was coming. He just said he was coming. Think about this. This is a story. There's a common plant that grows in the southwest desert of the United States called the Agave Americana. Anybody ever heard of it? It's also known as the century plant. Now, this plant thrives in a rocky, dry, and mountainous desert location. It grows splayed leaves that grow to be a foot wide. And this plant can reach 12 feet in diameter and grow to be 6 feet tall. And perhaps its most unusual trait is its long reproduction cycle, 20 to 30 years. Isn't that crazy? And this plant remains the same height, and it puts out no flowers, but suddenly, and without warning, a new bud will sprout, resembling a tree trunk-sized asparagus spear. It will rise into the sky at a rate of 7 inches per day until it reaches a height of 20 to 40 feet. Isn't that amazing? All of a sudden, just kind of like Jack and the Beanstalk, you know, it just, and that thing takes off. And then it culminates with a crown of several clumps of yellow blossoms that last for 3 weeks. Similar to the century plant, some of the greatest answers to hoping and longing take time and patience in order to see the beauty unfold. Sometimes you're not going to get your answer today. Sometimes you're not going to get your answer tomorrow. Do you hear me? It may not come next week. It may not come a month. It may not come even a year from now. Sometimes it's going to take 4 and 5 and 7 and 10 and 20. Remember, Moses wandered the wilderness 40 years and never got to see the promised land. The other people did. Joshua got to see it. And sometimes our promise doesn't come. Sometimes it doesn't come right away, but we still have a hope in Jesus that what he told us will be completed at some point. Amen? And that's where hope comes in. That's where faith comes in. That's where patience comes in. Isaiah saw that one day in the future, God would bring a great light and salvation through the birth of a child. It was not until hundreds of years later that Matthew recorded Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. Jesus is the very presence of God on earth. He offers forgiveness of sin, destruction of evil, and the promise of eternal life. Amen? So why do we read Isaiah's prophecy each year during Christmas? And here's why. When we see God's faithfulness in the past, that gives us deep and abiding hope in the present and unwavering trust for the future. It was fulfilled. It came to pass. We read that to show us that there is hope, hope for a future. Paul makes an appeal for hope to those who trust in Christ. Look at his letter to the Romans in chapter 15. Romans 15, verse 4, he says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." Paul said everything that had been written in the past, all the prophecy, and the fulfillment is meant to teach us how to hold on to faith in God to answer our prayers. there is hope that God will answer our prayers in the future. It may not come when we want it to come, right? But guess what? It's right on time, amen? It's right on time. What has been written gives us endurance and encouragement that we might have hope. And it's important that we revisit the prophetic words of the Old Testament and the fulfillment that comes through the birth of Jesus, because it reminds us that God can be trusted to come through and meet us in our greatest time of need. We hear prophecies that Jesus is coming back. Can I tell you, this prophecy that a Christ child would be born was a hope that we know that Jesus will return. We've heard the prophecies fulfilled. The prophecy has been fulfilled that Jesus was born. Now we are waiting for the prophecy to be fulfilled that he's returning. Amen? Think about this time of year. There's so many distractions, right? We get so many things that grab our attention. But this message is a reminder that hope is offered to us through Jesus' arrival in the manger. I want to tell you this story. Dr. James Dobson tells this story. And it's a story, I think he told it on his Focus on the Family program. And he tells a story of an elderly woman named Stella Thornhope. It's a good name, Thornhope. And she was struggling with her first Christmas alone. Her husband had died just a few months prior through a slow developing cancer. Several days before Christmas, she was almost snowed in by a brutal weather storm. She felt terribly alone, so much so that she decided she was not going to decorate for Christmas. And late that afternoon, the doorbell rang, and there was a delivery boy with a box. And he said to her, "Mrs. Thornhope, would you sign here?" And she invited him to step inside, close the door to get away from the cold, and she signed the paper and said, "What's in the box?" The young man laughed, and he opened up the flap, and inside was a little golden Labrador retriever. The delivery boy picked up the squirming pup and explained, "This is for you, ma'am. He's 6 weeks old and completely housebroken." The young pup began to wiggle in happiness at being released from captivity. "Who sent this?" Mrs. Thornhope asked. The young man set the animal down and handed her an envelope and said, "It's all explained here in this envelope, ma'am. The dog was bought last July while its mother was still pregnant. It was meant to be a Christmas gift to you." The young man then handed her a book, "How to Care for Your Labrador Retriever." In desperation, she again asked, "Who sent me this puppy?" As the young man turned to leave, he said, "Your husband, ma'am. Merry Christmas." She opened the letter from her husband. He had written it 3 weeks before he died and left it with the kennel owners to be delivered with the puppy as his last Christmas gift to her. The letter was full of love and encouragement and admonishments to be strong. He vowed that he was waiting for the day when she would join him in heaven, and he had sent her this young animal to keep her company until then. She wiped away the tears, put the letter down, and then remembered the puppy at her feet. She picked up the golden furry ball and held it to her neck. Then she looked out the window at the lights that outlined the neighbor's house, and she heard from the radio in the kitchen the strains of Joy to the World, "The Lord Has Come." Suddenly, Stella felt the most amazing sensation of hope washing over her. Her heart felt a joy and a wonder greater than the grief and loneliness. "Little fella," she said to the dog, "it's just you and me, but you know what? There's a box down in the basement I bet you'd like. It's got a little Christmas tree in it and some decorations and lights that are going to impress you. And there's a manger scene down there. Let's go get it." Our God is always right on time, amen? He knows exactly what we need, and he can be trusted to reveal the light of Christ in order to push the darkness that may be in our lives. In a land full of deep darkness, a light has indeed dawned. I want you to watch this video, and I want you to think about Jesus coming to bring hope to a lost world. the scene, the video is scenes from the movie, the nativity scene. And with the music from the piano, guys, it's to the song, O Come, Emmanuel. Please watch and enjoy. Thank you. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Can we pray? Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for sending your son, Jesus. He is our hope. He's our hope during this Christmas season. Hope is at the heart of Christmas. And we need your hope today more than ever before. Hope that you will be returning soon. Hope to take all the pain and suffering away. Hope to take our sickness. Hope to take our disease. We place our trust and our hope in you. And it's during this season, Lord God, that we focus upon you. We focus upon the things that you have for us and the blessings that you have for us. And help us to remember that there is hope. There is hope. And we give you the praise and we give you the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is the hope. He's the hope for Christmas. Amen? Amen. We are going to continue on in our service today. I've asked, we've had some guests, and we have some guests from, they're missionaries to Morocco.